Hello, y'all. My name is Neil Gompa. I'm here to talk to you about ButterFS, which is, you know, the butter for Fedora 33. So a little bit about who I am. I call myself, you know, an open source advocate. You know, I do a lot of work in open source communities across, you know, many places, including, you know, in distributions as a packager and a contributor. In Fedora, OpenSUSE, Magia, OpenMandriva. Some folks have seen me like here and there in Debian and Ubuntu and Arch, Rosa and a few other places. Yeah, sure. Let's go with open sourcer, Michael. That sounds cool. I'm a member of the Fedora Engineering Steering Committee. So in case you don't know, that means I'm one of the folks that helps arbitrate bigger changes that land into the distribution for upcoming releases of Fedora. And of course, for my day job, I'm a DevOps engineer at Datto, and that involves doing a whole lot of release engineering type stuff. And I do a lot of packaging and backporting stuff. And that kind of stuff has also kind of led into some of the other open source work I've done lately. So now ButterFS. So ButterFS, in case you don't know, is a copy and write file system for Linux. It's designed to provide advanced facilities for improving fault tolerance, reliability, availability, and that sort of stuff, while giving you an easy interface for using the storage effectively. But of course, as a copy and write file system, well, what does that really mean? So, a copy-on-write file system refers to a type of file system optimization where modifications to data on the file system, the file is copied into a new location and the modifications applied to the copy rather than to the original. The idea here is that gives you, aside from a lot of mooing, it gives you the ability to have those different instances of the file exist if you want to. So like when you write into a new place, it's atomically written into a new location. You can have it with a snapshot and then preserve both the old and the new and so on and so on. It's not really a replacement for backups, but it does provide some safety nets that aren't possible with traditional file systems. So ButterFS is a 64-bit file system like most of them, up until recently, X4 was 48 bits, but now it's 64 bits too, so who cares? But that means that the total volume size is 16 exabytes. Can't say that right. That's okay. But it's approximately, 18.5 million terabytes. And at 100 gigabytes per, 4K full-length films, it'd take 184.5 million copies to fill the entire volume to the max. Now, this is not a reasonable thing for anyone to ever do. Don't do it. Most parts of Linux, long before you get to the file system, will completely fall apart. But it's a fun fact. And if you happen to be using ButterFS on in a configuration or a way where somehow you magically are able to handle this without everything breaking, good for you. You could do this. I fully expect that the rest of Linux isn't quite ready to handle that kind of volume sizes and file sizes stuff. So some of the features here, I'm not going to really read off the whole list, but a lot of this is built around space efficiency, being able to do logical partitioning without actually like making solid divisions of the storage layout. You can take snapshots of the file system and you can send and receive those. So you can transfer them over the wire in a network efficient fashion. It's SSD aware, could do data discard automatically, has integrated RAID functionality, transparent compression, and an interesting feature called seeding, which allows you to make a read-only or base file system layer of a volume, and then you can sort of sprout it into a ButterFS volume or something else. And so you can do that to say, seed from X4 or Riser 3, or if somebody ever adds it upstream, XFS or whatnot. And then you can sprout a new ButterFS file system overlay for conversions, or you can use ButterFS itself as a seed to seed to sprout another ButterFS file system for like live media and fun stuff like that. There's all kinds of interesting possibilities, and there's many more features that I haven't covered. But we want to come back to the basics here with subvolumes and snapshots. So subvolumes are essentially subsections of a volume that can be independently managed. So this works, if you think of in a normal user view of a file system, you tend to see directories and files and things like that. At the core of it, a directory and a file is a type of subsection of a volume. Subvolumes are a larger abstraction or a larger subset where it is defined as independent logical group of data that you can do whatever you want with. And this logical division is useful for being able to do things like snapshotting. And snapshots are essentially instances of these subvolumes that are preserved and can be used to either make a new file system or duplicate it or back it up or whatever. You can do all kinds of interesting things with this. But the most interesting use case that I think most people tend to bring up is snapshots of subvolumes can give you like a time machine style, like snapshotting recovery mechanism. So the developer community around ButterFS is actually quite varied. It's quite large, but like the principal developers come from Facebook, SUSE, and to a lesser extent, Western Digital and Oracle. As some of you may or may not know this, but ButterFS originally came from Oracle. Chris Mason was working at Oracle at the time and then left to go some startups and stuff, and then eventually ended up at Facebook. SUSE is huge in the ButterFS development space. They do a lot of work with the user space as well as the kernel. And Facebook has like two or three of the founding engineers of ButterFS on staff. One of them, Joseph Basik, who's in the Fedora community as a kernel developer, actually works at Facebook, but originally was from Red Hat. And what he does is help with the ButterFS kernel development and maintenance and addressing ButterFS bugs for the Fedora community. So the user community. So there's actually a lot of people using it, but they don't really talk a whole lot about it. Of course, you know, if you've been to NAST or some of our other earlier talks or the Open Source Summit or whatever, you probably know that Facebook uses it extensively. But what you may not know is that quite a few NAS vendors do too. And it's even the default storage for NAS appliances. So Synology uses it as well as Netgear ReadyNAS. A couple of others I haven't listed that are major appliance vendors also use ButterFS by default. And of course, on the open source side, there's an open source CentOS-based NAS called RockStore. And they use ButterFS for everything. And they've built a management interface on top of it to allow you to easily use it, you know, like you would a commercial NAS appliance. And obviously from the open operating systems front, you have OpenSUSE, who's been using it since 2014 for their user data, for their system data, and then since 2018 for their user data. And Fedora joins this crowd with Fedora 33, this release, this year. So that's like a lot of the major notable players, but there's a lot of other smaller players out there that you may or may not have heard of, but they're using ButterFS under the hood because it's a great file system for that use case. So why ButterFS? Because, you know, all these people who are using it, like, why would they want to use it? Because it's an advanced file system that's part of the Linux kernel, it's developed as part of the Linux operating system, and gives you the ability to have a first-class advanced integrated storage management layer that works the way you expect it to. And it's so easy to have and use because it's part of the mainline Linux kernel. So Linux distributions have support for it out of the box, and it can be used with minimal fuss.